Never heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Beautiful people, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, aka LA, aka Lonzo. And with me this morning, Bernadette. Bernadette, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Lonzo?
I am great. I am great. It's been a minute since we talked. I hope all is well.
No, it's been a while, but all has been well.
Good deal. Good deal. Hey, so the premise of the show, just kidding, because someone told me I'm always saying that. So thought I'd take a little dig. But I've been asking everyone about their Mother's Day. I know it's been weeks ago, but like I said, we haven't talked. So how was your Mother's Day and what did you do for Mom?
And Mother's Day was good.
Good.
It was it's like a whole, you know, ordeal, you know. First, I had to, you know, go to church and preach.
And oh, yeah. Yes.
It's like every year we just build on something that we did, you know, the previous year. So last year we took a moment to, you know, people could, you know, talk about Mom. Mm-hmm. And then this year I did a video presentation, you know, mm-hmm. of the moms in the church with their children or, you know, children with mom, and, you know, vice versa. And so they went off without a hitch. They loved it, you know, had some gifts for them. And then my mom, I think she got more than what she expected. And so,
awesome.
So, yeah, mothers play such a intricate role in the lives of children, you know, whether they're younger. Older. Yeah. And so it was good, you know, to just take time and honor Mom for all that they do. Like,
amen.
Moms are really great heroes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I lost my mother in 2022, and I tell you, for those who haven't lost their mother and father, but especially moms, it forever changes your life. It really does. It's like a roller coaster. There are some real good days and bad days, but you truly, truly always miss Mom, man, because and we always say it, the closest thing to God's love, because they really love you unconditionally, no matter what, you know. People have done some despicable things in the world, but Mom will stand right there and defend you time and time again. So it's a blessing. I tell all our listeners, and my mom used to say that all the time, you know, life's short. You know, I'm not going to be here forever. So just remember that, man. Don't take that for granted, because there's a reason we honor them and the way we do. So, yeah. That's good stuff, man. Hey, I was thinking about a discussion I had with a pastor a while back, and we were talking, and he was saying that David was like his favorite character in the Bible, and he talked about, you know, David's courage, his resilience, his faith, being a person after God's own heart. And so Bernadette, if I asked you who your favorite figure outside of Jesus, of course, but who your favorite figure was in the Bible, what would you say, or who would you talk about?
I would say Joseph. Yeah, Joseph the dreamer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of his tenacity.
That's interesting. And I think he would be a favorite of many, because you're right. Tenacity, just the faith, and just what he went through, and that resilience, man, and becoming a prominent, you know, figure, and able to save the same people who his own brothers who sent him into slavery. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I can also connect with him because of the dreams. You know, and he was young.
Yeah.
When he, you know, had his first dream, and I think we can all learn a lesson. You know, sometimes we're so excited to share things that God, you know, drops in our spirit and whispers in our ears and our hearts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're so excited to go and share it. But everybody, you know, doesn't have the eyes to see the vision, you know, that God sometimes, I mean, not sometimes, but he gives to us. You know, it's a personal vision. And so, you know, we can learn the lesson from Joseph in, you know, guarding our heart in the sense of, you know, sometimes keeping our mouth shut. You know, even when it excites us.
I like that, because keeping our mouths shut. I actually just seen, it was a woman, and I forgot her name, but it's a spiritual, I cannot remember her name, but she was talking about God and blessing you and keeping your vision a secret, you know, not sharing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, when Joseph told his brothers, you know, what about his dream and how he would be over them, and that just created or enhanced the animosity.
Yeah. So
that's a very, very good point. You also said something else. You said you connect with him because of the dreams. Are you a dreamer too?
I'm a dreamer.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And so it was, you know, I've had some dreams, and, you know, between the dreams and the dreams coming to fruition, you know, there were some, you know, some low moments, you know, some days where, you know, my faith wasn't, you know, as strong as I would have liked it to be. And so I would, you know, refer to the Bible, and I would often find myself, you know, flipping back to the accounts in Genesis in regards to Joseph. And And the other thing I liked about Joseph was he also always exemplified humbleness.
Yeah.
You know, now he was smart. You know, he had a plan, you know, to draw his brothers back. But, you know, he was always humble. And mm-hmm. I often ponder about, you know, the part where it said, and he wept. And I often wonder, you know, was he crying because, you know, you know, they did him wrong, and now he has to do him right. You know, all these different things. I think Joseph cried because of many different reasons.
Yeah.
So, but he always exemplified humbleness.
And to forgive them after all that. Wow. I mean, yeah. That's a standout character, absolutely. And I'm a dreamer as well, I can tell you, but what I need to work on, because, and others have said this, I like what you did. You went right to the word. I'll wake up and go about my day. Now, sometimes it'll hit me after the fact. Like, I get up about 5 in the morning, so around 9 or 10, the dream sometimes will hit me, and then it's pretty vivid, then I'll start remembering all these, and I'll say scenes from the dream. But most of the time I wake up and remember the dreams, but I need to immediately get on my knees, immediately go to the word, and I don't do that all the time. So something I need to work on. Yeah. And I don't know if anyone would think, for me, I think I said this before, as a child, I talked about Moses. But as an adult, I would have to say, like, Joshua for me. And, you know, we see him as this great warrior. We think about his faith And then we always think about the wall of Jericho collapsing. And, you know, those things are, like, they just stand out. They're great. They're great accomplishments. And, but for me, I'm like drawn by the leadership piece because I think Joshua is like this perfect example of a follower becoming a leader. Because they always say in order to be a great leader, one must be a follower first. And he was a student or mentee. He was right under Moses for like 40 years. I mean, can you imagine just learning from Moses all this time? And, you know, and when it was time to step up, he did. God had told him to step up and not be afraid. And, wow. I mean, just to be right under Moses and able to step up, able to be obedient and do all these great things. And, you know, that just, you can, the biblical content, well, you know, is captured there in the Bible, but again, also that leadership piece, you know, and you and I talked about mentors and mentees. And so I've just always been just, he's not colorful. I mean, you don't hear a lot of stories about him in the Bible, but the impact during his tenure as, you know, he led his people. So.
Joshua is also, you know, another character that's, you know, that sticks out often. You know?
Yeah.
I like what you said, how he was under Moses for 40 years. You know, he didn't fight it. You know, he embraced it and he learned what he needed to learn, you know, to be prepared for the day, you know, in which he would, you know, take on the reins and go on and,
And can you imagine, like, the takeaways, right? Like, what would you, under Moses all that time, man, how many lessons were learned, you know? And, like, we talked about our mentors and mentees. If you had one takeaway from your one of your mentors, what would that be? What stands out to you?
I got a couple things, and I'll keep it brief. But one thing is, she often tells me, you know, let a lie be a lie.
Say that again, B. I'm sorry.
She often says, let a lie be a lie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she was, you know, she's telling me, you know, on this journey, you know, there may come a time when somebody wants to lie, you know, you know, they want to spruce up a narrative where, you know, they just want to create one because they, you know, you're not giving them anything to work with.
Mm-hmm.
She said, let the lie be a lie. And then another thing she always, you know, reminds me of, she told me when I first came into, you know, the AME church, as she was saying, you know, be where you're supposed to be.
Mm.
Do what you're supposed to do. You know, don't have nobody looking for you. You know, just, you know, do what you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do and be dependable. And like when we can be men and women of our word, you know, people can entrust a lot more to us, you know. It's a part of stewardship, you know, being dependable and being diligent in our work is a part of stewardship.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. And, you know, I really often wonder, do our mentors, because so you and I talked about doing the mentor-mentee show, and I reached out to the three standout mentors for me. And one of them said, well, you know, I'm not I've never officially been anyone's mentor. And I said, most of the time it's never official was my response. But I wonder if they know, like what you just said, if she knows how impactful that was and how it stuck with her, you know, it just blows my mind when people come back and tell you, hey, this is what you said years ago. And sometimes you even forgot you gave that advice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think one other thing that I would have to take from, you know, from my pastor, he often says, you know, Bernadette, just love the people. And so that's what I've done, you know, almost the past 2 years, love God and love the people.
Yes.
And love makes, you know, love makes a difference. And so both of them know, you know.
Man, I love that. I love that, B. And so for me, I'm definitely going to say Loretta Clyburn Bistrom was my professional, meaning the career path I took. She was a supervisor, and I like served under her, like under in three different units in the police department. But I just remember there's so many. I'm gonna save a lot for our episode on mentors. But I'll share one thing. I remember applying for sergeant, and I was really just trying to outthink the process. So, and many police departments, like your larger agencies, you'll have these assessments, right? And so these assessment centers, and they have these real practical exercises, not just your typical oral board. So they can really give you this, you're doing this simulation to see how you will perform as a official leader. But anyway, I applied for sergeant, and there was this in basket exercise, and the exercise, they give you all these scenarios, and you respond, hey, I'll do this, and this is how, and sometimes you have to prioritize, you know. But anyway, there would, I outthought the process. I was trying to be what I thought they were, the person I thought they were looking for as a sergeant. And so I wasn't being honest. I wasn't answering the way I really, really would have. But I remember after the process, I ended up being in the middle of the road, but not as high on the list as I probably could have if I had been more honest. But I just remember Loretta saying, show people who you really are. Be, you know, be Alonzo. When people really get to see you and see who you really are, they're going to love you. You're going to be great. And that just, she has no idea how much that accelerated, number one, confidence. Number two, my career and my interactions with people inside and outside of work, because I was comfortable then. Just hearing that made me a lot more comfortable being myself. And I knew, just to give you an example, there was one of an employee wanted to take off. The book was full. No one else could take off. They wanted to take off because their spouse was having open heart surgery. And in my mind, I'm going by policy. No, you can't take off. And not only her, but my wife always also said that too. Like, you know who you are, and there's no way you would tell someone they couldn't take off under that. And so just being yourself, that just meant the world to me. I never shared that with her. She might not even remember telling me that, but that's my big takeaway. I'll save the others for our episode that I'm so excited for. You know, I can't wait for that.
Yeah. And you know, when she told you just be yourself, she reminds me of my other mentor, you know, Minister PJ Dunahue. Mm-hmm. You know, how they always see some, how you can have a person who sees something in you.
Yes.
That you don't know is there, but, you know, they see it, and not only do they recognize it, but they help to pull it out and start to cultivate it. Mm-hmm. And so, mentorship is so invaluable. It impacts our life, you know, eternally. You know, I'm eternally grateful for these people.
Likewise. I just wish that we had talked about it like sooner. Like, you know, there's so many other episodes scheduled in between when we do this, but I'm just so excited to bring people on and thank them for really impacting both of us and, you know, playing a part in who we are today. So that's great. Any final words before we close out, before we get to our guests?
No, I think this has been a really, this has really been a good segment, and it also, you know, causes me to pause and to reflect and, you know, really thank God, you know, because none of us get to where we are on our own, you know, because if it had not been for the prayers of my mama, you know, and, you know, the prayers of mentors and, you know, God giving us, you know, exactly who we need along this journey. You know, in those seasons where we sometimes thought we had life figured out.
Yes.
So we thank God for his infinite wisdom. And,
amen. Amen. And we do have to give him honor because those people weren't put in our lives accidentally.
Mm-mm. So strategic.
Yeah, absolutely. And like kudos to you and other mentees who listen. You know, that's the other thing, because there are a lot of people who they have so much to offer, so much to give, and you choose to listen or not listen. And I've dodged many of bullets because older people pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, listen here, little brother, let me tell you how this goes." And so, man, I just thank God for planting all these people in our lives.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but I always thank you, Bernadette, man. You are an inspiration, a treasure, and glad that you're doing this thing with me.
I'm grateful that you've allowed me to come along for the ride.
Oh, man, it's you make it easy, man. I always talk about your spiritual wisdom. I'm just so excited because there's more to come. And when we come back, man, I'm telling you, I'm talking to Sonya Griffin. She's a gospel singer out of L.A. I think you're going to love our discussion. Bernadette, we'll see you again. And I can't wait for this mentorship episode.
Me too. So excited for it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. See ya.
Virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes.
$25 bag stuff full of grub.
These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Onions and radishes, turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too.
From herb soup, cheese, and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmer's Hub.
Beautiful people, we are back. And my next guest has performed at concerts, done praise and worship, and a choir director. She's done work in that field. She's a super pro with an incredible range. Please welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, Sonya Griffin. How are you, Sonya?
Hello. I am great. How are you?
I am doing well, praise God. Good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this.
Yes. I'm excited about you. I was just telling you before we started recording what I've seen, you know, online and on social media, just impressive. And really, you just really seem like a not just an anointed woman of God, but just someone who has a heart of gold. So thank you for joining us. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the, there was an event, the More to Pour. Is that, was that the name of the event you did?
Yes, it was a women's.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. A friend of mine, Luana Crawford, she does, this is her second year doing a women's prayer breakfast. Mm-hmm. Marette Clark Brown was her special guest. I was the worship leader for the day. To see 300 women in that place was so impactful. Yes. And she had all women speakers. I think there were about 7 women speakers, all ethnicities. So it wasn't just African Americans in the place. It was everybody in the place. And it was so anointed from the time praise and worship started until the last speaker. And then Bishop Vaughn came by, Cortez Vaughn. He's the guy that does You Deserve It. And he has a church now in San Bernardino, California. Mm-hmm. And he closed it out for us. Man, it was so impactful. I just can't believe it. The women walked, and they were able to shop. There were a lot of vendors there. So, of course, anytime we're able to shop and praise, that's a good place to be.
Amen.
It was amazing. Marette Clark Brown is amazing live. And so we just had a great day.
Wow. I so wish I could have attended that. It really sounds like it was popping in the name of Jesus.
It was. Yes
indeed. So tell us your story. You're from what part of California?
I now live in San Bernardino, California, which is considered the Inland Empire. But I was born and raised in the Los Angeles area, born in Los Angeles, then migrated to Carson, California, kind of lived there a while. And then when we got grown, it was time to fly. So I've lived everywhere in California, well, in the L.A. area now, in the Inland Empire area. But, man, I just love California. I've never ever thought about leaving it because I love it, even though we get 4 seasons in one day. I still
it's a good season though.
Yes. Yes, I still want to be here in California, Southern California. But yeah, I was born and raised there. My mom and dad met while my dad was in the military and my mom was somewhere being my mom, and they hooked up and moved to LA. And so I have a sister and I have 2 brothers. We're all still in California. Well, my oldest brother's in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But I raised 2 kids. My son, he is 33. He's mm-hmm. autistic, but I love every challenge because it helped me to grow. Yes. And it helped us to grow and even to grow closer. Because of the care that he needed. He's very high functional, just speech, lack of speech, mm-hmm. but very high functional. And then of course I have my daughter who is graduated from Xavier University this past Saturday on the 10th Mother's Day weekend. Yes. She graduated from Xavier. So I was able to bring her home. So we are one happy family once again. Yeah, and so it's been, you know, life hasn't been easy, but it's been rewarding. Amen. Just to see that God has always been there and our God has always taken care of us and he's never left us out there by ourselves. And I cannot be the one to say that I lost everything at one time and all that. You know, God has taken care of us. Yes. And so he has been great. And so you talk about my faith, you ask about my faith, and I just love God. I love God. He has always been there for us. I've never left him. I was raised in church and I never left. My parents saw the gift of singing in me. And me being an introvert, it took me a long time to do it. And I remember being 5 years old, standing in front of a church singing and then crying through the whole song because it's like all these people looking at me. Why? And then just nurtured that. They just make sure that I stayed in church. I stayed in singing. They tried to get me in piano lessons. And the teacher said, this baby just want to sing. She ain't going to play. And I was like, okay. So they told her, no, waste no more money on her trying to play. Just let her sing. And so that's what they did. They just let me sing. And that was brought me into the career that I'm in now. Just them seeing the gift in me. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Now, when you transition from like singing in church to going to the concerts and like the events and what, how did that take place? What was the catalyst to say, hey, let me try to step outside of the church walls and take it to another level?
Actually, it took someone to pull me out because I was great singing in choirs and doing background and doing studio work. I was great there and I was comfortable there. Yes. The director that is now LA Mass Choir, Donald Taylor, I think I was 14, 15 mm-hmm. years old, and he heard me sing. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, he will pull me into stuff to do. And one day he just came and says, look, you have a gift. We need to do something with it. I was like, I am. I'm singing in the choir. He was like, no, that's not what I mean. So when he formed LA Mass Choir, mm-hmm. I was one of his picks. I was one of the first people he picked to do that. And from then on, it just took off. Every time we were able to record, he made sure that I had a song on the CD. From there, solo gigs started coming out. Mm. And then that's how, like I said, he pulled me into that. But then I had to be obedient to what the Lord was saying. I never thought that I would be in this position singing solo and singing on stage by myself. Because as I mentioned before, I'm an introvert. Most people don't believe it, but it's like once I'm off stage, I just really want to be by myself. Just in my zone, you know. It's been a transition and it's been good though. It's really been good. I'm not going to say that I've been I have really been all over the world. But I'm not going to say that I'm just a renowned world singer, but I love what I do. Amen. Even if it's just here in LA or in the Inland Empire, I just love what I do. And I'm going to keep on until every time I say I'm going to stop, you know, turn it over to my daughter, train her, turn it over to my daughter. She's the one that says, no, mom, you still got a lot in you. It's like, okay. Let's keep it going. Yeah.
I love it. Now you made me think of something else to ask, but before I ask, two things that you said, it made me think about two things. The first mm-hmm. was about being in our comfort zone, because there's so much growth when you learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable, right?
Right. Yes.
And the other part was my co-host Bernadette and I was just talking about this before you came on, and mm-hmm. we were talking about mentorship and having that that mentor, that person in who sees something in you that you don't necessarily see yet. And yes. it sounds like you were nudged, you know, you said he pushed you, but it sounded like he nudged you and got you into a better place. So thank God for our mentors, for people
Amen.
Who see something in us. So, yeah. And now the other piece I thought about just now, you were talking about your daughter, and I'm always talking about team and collaboration. And I learned that your daughter is part of your management team, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. Tell me about that. And like, how did that come about?
It started out really being funny because when she had to have been about 7 or 8, now she's always been bossy. Like from the day she started crawling, she's always been bossy. Yeah. And so I remember one day she had to have been about 7 or 8, and mm-hmm. she heard me on the radio, and mm-hmm. she looked at me and she said, Mom, that lady sounds like you. And I said, Ebony, that is me. And she said, can I scream? Because what I taught her to do, because we were going around a lot of celebrities at the time, and I was uh-huh. introducing her to people, and I said, you cannot scream. You have to act like you're just in the same place that they're in. She's like, okay. So when she found out that I was on the radio, she said, but can I scream? I said, yes, you can scream. So she started asking all of these questions, like, well, how did you get there? Well, who's going to help you get to do your own thing? And so she, like I said, she's 7 or 8 at this point. And just the question she was asking, I'm like, this girl could someday become a manager, because she's asking all the right questions.
Yeah.
And So anytime I would go around my friends, they would always say, yeah, your little manager, you know, because she, when we get to in somewhere, she's making sure somebody has some water. And like, it's this young girl, like pulling strings and making things happen, you know, and she's always made sure that my son was okay before I got up to sing and everything. And so as she grew and mature and saw all that I was doing, I was like, you know what? You know everything about me. I need you to now put that, let's do some business together. Why don't you manage me, be a part of the team? And she says, are you serious? I was like, yes, because if she knows everything about me, then she knows what I'm not going to like. Mm-hmm. She knows what I want to do, what I'm not going to do. And she's even that one that even as a teenager would say, Mom, you really don't have to take that because, and she'll name all the reasons why I don't need to take a gig or something. And I was like, wow, okay, then I'm going to listen to her. And so I said, yes, I want you to be a part of the management team. She went and pulled a friend of hers into it, said, look, I need somebody, and this is her, I need somebody to take care of the music part. I'll take care of the business part or the singers. And then I have a manager, Pastor William Charles, and he takes care of the business. So they work very well together. She does her part. She makes sure nobody steps in her part. She makes sure she doesn't overstep in someone else's part unless she sees something lacking. And that's how it all happened. It just came together like that. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I love when God, you can tell when his hands are in it, right?
Yes.
It seems so easy. I love hearing that. Now, you mentioned earlier, preparing her to, take your spot one day. Does she sing as well?
Yeah, so she's been singing since she was four as well. Mm. And so she's been leading praise and worship for the youth since she was about 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. And now anytime she came home, I put her back up there to lead worship. She does an excellent job. And now she's doing with the young adults. And so I even had one time one of the and she directs as well. And I even had one of the older adults say, she can direct our choir. I was like, no, I want to let her be with her age for now.
Yeah.
When she gets older. But yeah, she's doing an excellent job for the kingdom. When she was living in New Orleans, she actually went to go serve under St. Stephen's, Greater St. Stephen's, with their new pastor. Bishop Paul Morton used to pastor, and then he retired and turned it over to his daughter and son-in-law. So she served there in the media ministry and then their choir. So she does a lot. She's really well-versed, very much. Yeah.
That's awesome. And so when you're talking about that management, the team, and there's always a need to expand your brand, right?
Right.
So what are they doing that? What are some of the strategies they're doing to help expand your brand? Are they constantly on social media? Talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
Yes. Now that she has time, we are going to expand my presence on social media. She's very good with media. She's very good with editing and things like that. And so that's one of the things that we are going to be doing is expanding my social media presence. As far as rebranding, more so sticking with the trend, but still keeping some traditional stuff. Mm-hmm. And so because she's an old head anyway, so she loves old traditional stuff. And her friend that's a musician that's helping with the management, they're good about flipping songs. And so that's some of the things that we'll be looking at is like taking some of the traditional stuff and bringing it up to date. We don't want to lose the flavor, but we also want to keep with the time as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about hymns and things like that is that it really said something. We didn't have to have a good groove to make it work because those words said something. And so we're going to try to, you know, bring that and bridge that and make that all happen so that it's still trendy, but we don't lose the meaning behind the words and what we write. And so, even writers that come along, we want to make sure that it's solid words, that it is Bible based, and then we'll probably just kind of bring the music part of it up to date. And that's the rebranding, because I haven't done a solo album. I've put out singles, but mm-hmm. not one entire album. And so that's what they're talking about, is doing a recording, eventually a live recording. But I'm praying about that, because, you know, I'm very resistant, like, I'm old. And then I look at Shirley Caesar, I'm like, I better get back out there.
Yes.
I better get out there, because Shirley doing the thing. Yes, Shirley is killing the game. Yes. And she's looking good.
Yes, she does.
She's looking good.
Praise God.
Yeah.
That is good. I love hearing that. And so I'm thinking about your stage presence and mm-hmm. how any one of us, and you know, when you're on that stage and you're giving it and thanking God, it can be, there's a natural high, right? It really is. So
it
when is. You see and hear the people thank you for thanking God, how mm-hmm. does that feel?
It really makes me feel like what I'm doing is relevant. Because, you know, sometimes you get, especially because I grew up with low self-esteem. And even though I don't need the thank yous, it's like, because I've grown up with, you know, with not being able to accept that, not being able to accept that I'm good, and not being able to accept all of the accolades. The best thing that happens for me is when someone stops me and says, that song you did changed my life. That song you did. I mean, there are people who have come up to me and says, I listened to your song my whole time in rehab. I was like, wow. Or one evangelist says that she had jumped in her car and was really ready to just end it all. And she, as she was driving, the song, That's When You Bless Me came on. And she says she literally listened to the song and the words. And she says she actually pulled over to the side of the road instead of running her car off the road. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. And one lady came and says that she was listening to the radio late at night. That's When You Bless Me came on. She actually had a bottle of pills next to her on her bed, on her dresser, that she was ready to take so that she can go to sleep and never wake up again. But something about the song put her to sleep, and she was never able to take those pills. And I was like, wow. Right. And that's what I said too. You know, and it's like when people stop me in the street and say, I know you are, you bless me. Those are the things. It's not the, you sound so wonderful, you sound so good. It's not, that's not what I'm looking for. But when somebody says that I've touched their life, that I've saved their life, that's what I look for. Hey, Lord, man, you making me relevant. Yeah. That wow. is what I look for. Yeah.
I thank God for you, man. I'm telling you, you were saying that I'm just feeling so much like there's something waiting, even bigger than you can imagine. I'm saying it. I'm speaking it, man. I just
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
This is great.
Thank you.
I was reading your reviews, and I was like, people are really caught up in the moment at her events. And was there anything that you say that's unique or different on the way you engage the audience?
I think the different thing for me, and I get this push from my daughter, because I'm not real big on people background singing for me. And mm-hmm. it's not that I don't need them. It's just that I just feel like I don't want to leave anybody, because when I hit the stage, I really let God just take control. And I sometimes don't know where I'm going. It's like, I don't want a background in back of me being lost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I just prefer, and I love background singers because I love background singing. And maybe that's the unique thing, is that I don't mind jumping behind somebody in a minute to sing background. I love it. I'm not that big of, you know, big headed person that I cannot do that. I'll walk from the seat, and if I see somebody need background, I'll walk up there and find out what they're doing. Okay, I can do that. I know that. And you know, when they finish, and then they'll say, and here the legendary Sonya came and helped me. And it's like, legendary, okay, where did that word come from? And so it's like you know, I'm just, I guess humility may be one of the unique things about me, because I don't put myself above people. I put myself at others' levels, sometimes maybe beneath them. It's like, I'll serve. I'm a servant. I'll serve before I need to be seen. I'll serve first. Yeah. Man. I think that's what's unique. Yeah. Yeah.
God bless you, man. God bless you.
Thank you.
This has been a blessing for me. I can't even, I've had a lot of guests. I've done a lot of episodes, but I just, you're a special kind of person, man. I just feel like you have truly been a vessel.
Thank you.
As we wrap up, anything you want to share with our listeners about your singles or events or how to reach out and connect with you on social media?
Sure.
I give everyone the floor, so I'm handing it over to you. So tell us, okay. Tell us what you got.
Thank you. So I do have my newest single was released last year, 2024. It's called He's Almighty, and it's on all digital outlets. I have other music there as well that I've helped other people with their projects. And so just pull up my name, Sonya Griffin, S-O-N-Y-A, Griffin, G-R-I-F-F, and I'll come up all over the place. I am really excited about what I do. I really love to, when you talk about mentoring and things like that, I like to mentor as well. I like to mentor young people to make sure that they don't make the same mistakes that I made, to let them know that they are worth what God has put them on this earth to do. Sometimes we look at people and we say, I wish I was like that. But I always say that if God made everybody the same, who and how would they choose to pick you? And so that's why I'm always grateful that he made me who I am, that even the struggles that I've been through, that he allowed me to go through, because they've grown me and they can always help me to minister to someone else. I have been, my life hasn't been easy, but it hasn't been strenuous either. But I love how God has orchestrated my life and how he has carried me through all these trials and tribulations that I've been through. And I come out of it with sanity and with experience. And that's how I see everything, is with sanity and experience is what I've learned through it all. If anything else I've learned is I've learned to trust God through everything. No doubt. When it comes to God, no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt. Yeah. So I just, if I was to leave you with anything, I would say trust God. And he'll direct your career. He'll direct your path. He'll put people in your life that should be there. He'll also remove people that should not be there. Yes.
What a blessing. What special words you just shared. And Sonya, we appreciate you. The door is always open anytime you want to come on. Actually, you made me think of something. We're working on something behind the scenes I'll share with you. When you were talking about your son and what we really want to do for autism. So we'll talk about that. But
I would love to be involved. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Sonya, God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Sonya Griffin, y'all.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Amen. Amen.